Well, we begin a series of messages this morning. Love Like Jesus. Four-part series. And we're going to begin this morning with a test. It's a command in the New Testament that in some form is repeated 9 times throughout the whole New Testament. Written about by 3 authors and found in 4 books. Super Bowl tickets for next year for anybody who can tell me what the command is. Whew, thank you, Lord. Because I know they were going to take that out of my paycheck. Well, turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of John. The 13th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Just stay right there. John 13, 1 through 3. This first part is really the backdrop passage of kind of what's going on, and we find the command coming later. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. The Scripture says to us that during supper, the devil, having already entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he'd come back and come forth from God and was going back to God. Now, just kind of a backdrop. Jesus has gathered for what is known as the Last Supper. Within not many hours, he's going to be in Gethsemane praying. Not many hours beyond that, he's going to be arrested, tried, beaten, scourged, and eventually led to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, where he would be crucified. In the midst of what we know as the Lord's Supper and all that went on during that time, in the 34th verse of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, we have Jesus offering a new commandment. A new commandment. Look what he says. A new commandment I give to you. Now what they are, they're gathered around the table. He's with his disciples. They have celebrating the Lord's Supper. They're wondering. They're in need of comfort. He's told them that he's leaving and they don't understand. But he says, here's what I want to tell you. I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. Now, again, in verse 34, he says, as I have loved you. Now, it's important, not that we get a Greek lesson this morning, but in the Greek, for the word love, we just have a word love, and that kind of expands anywhere and everywhere. Like, I love chocolate. I can't have much of it anymore because I ate so much of it when I was young that I'm now a diabetic. And let that be a warning to you, any of you that have chocolate and don't need to eat it, bring it to me and I'll sacrifice for you, okay? The word love in Greek, storge, eros, eros. That's when you look at your wife or husband looks at his wife and goes, hey, baby, you busy? Eros, erotic, sexual love. Yes, I said that in the church. Philos, love like Tina and I have. We love to aggravate each other, okay? But we do love each other. And then, of course, the word here, when Jesus, and the reason I share this so that you know this, that Jesus says, as I have agape, the last word, and that is God's love. That overrides all of the others. As I have loved you, he tells them to agape. This word agape and what Jesus is saying, Jesus said, look, I loved you like nobody else has ever loved you. Nobody else will ever love you like the Father and I love you. This is what set him apart. His love shattered barriers. Jesus, people wonder how he could go out into the community. His love shattered barriers of prejudice and anger and hate. His love helped people pick up the pieces of broken lives and shattered dreams and put them back together again. His love offered forgiveness where the religious people of the day offered only condemnation and judgment because you couldn't follow the law. People saw in his face love. They felt it in his touch, love. They heard it in his voice, love. It was his love, this agape love, that he tells them that they've got to learn to love each other that way. Peter and John, you've got to move beyond just being brothers in as disciples, and Matthew and the rest of you, you've got to learn, you've got to move beyond that philos, beyond that friendship. Husbands and wives, you've got to move beyond that eros. You've got to move to agape. It's who God really is. At the end of his ministry, he commands it. He tells his followers to love just like this.
In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is asked the question, which is the greatest commandment? He answered, love God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then again, at the Last Supper, he says the same thing, but with a twist, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. This time, Jesus replaced your neighbor with one another. This new love that Christ commands of us goes much deeper than the Old Testament commandment he was quoting in Matthew. The people we have been commanded to love has expanded beyond our neighborhoods to include, well, everyone. And this includes people who might make this commandment a bit difficult, like that confrontational coworker who just seems impossible to get along with, or your in-laws who've never treated you like a part of the family, or maybe the person you just met who you don't even know and really needs some help. You see, Jesus knew his physical time on earth was nearing an end. So in this new take on the old commandment, Jesus also made another change. The words as yourself became as I have loved you. Wow, that's a tough act to follow. Christ's sacrificial life provides a clear and concrete example of real and true love. And he put this love on display on a daily basis with his disciples. He was patient with them, speaking kindly, and showing great concern for their welfare. He instructed, counseled, and comforted them, prayed with them and for them. He admonished them for wrongdoing, and yet compassionately bore with their failings. And most of all, he gave his life, dying so that they, and we, might live. According to Jesus, this is how others will know that you are one of his followers. Not because you have a shirt or a bumper sticker that says so. Not because we announce it from a stage or a blog or a status update. But because they look at you, at how you live, the things you do and say, and they see Jesus. They see love.
That you love one another. This morning, love one another. As he defined, it's not our churches, it's not our sermons, it's not our teaching, it's not our theology, it's not our doctrine. It is loving like Jesus, learning to love one another. It's if and how we demonstrate the true love of Christ. Now, we sing about love, we preach about love, we teach about love, we try to act in love. We are, as people say, I always like it when folks say that they're a loving church. Loving church. I read about a loving church that a lady had come home early from choir practice. And her husband says, "You're in early." She said, "Yeah, we had to dismiss choir practice." She said, "Why?" She said, "Well, the choir director and the organist and the pianist got in a fight about how to sing 'Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.'" Jesus, in this very simple truth, tells us that we're to love one another, and there's no but in that. Those of you that know my preaching know that when but comes up, we're talking about sheep and goats. Sheep are supposed to follow, and goats do what? But. Well, I would love them, but. You know, there are no buts in this. Jesus says we are to love one another. It's a very simple command. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 36. I didn't ask Robbie to put this up there, but if you have your Bible, I want you to look with me at verse 36, because you're going to see something that often happens in church, probably happened after this sermon, and that is, you can get it up there. You good, boy. We're going to give you a raise. I want you. Now, Jesus has just finished that you love one another. And Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" And he says, "Where I'm going, you can't go, but, you know, follow me, but you will follow later." Now, we read that, and we understand that Peter was concerned about, but here's what's so interesting. Peter and the disciples completely missed what Jesus had just commanded. In fact, it was kind of like this, I think, as Jesus did it. Blah, 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 blah. We don't want no jibber-jabber. In fact, we could go all the way through here. Will you lay down your life for me? They completely missed the commandment. In fact, it's not too much later that he has to comfort them and tell them about the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a whole lot later that two of the disciples are trying to argue about who's going to have the best place in heaven. Love like I have loved you and shown you. And it's not loving someone just when you feel like it, not when they deserve it, not when you want something. You know, and I know that Jesus offered a sacrificial love, a selfless love. He put himself first. He says, "This is my new command. I've expanded the old one that you were to love your neighbor as yourself. No, you're to love one another as in God's way, selflessly, forgiving. You're to forgive." Peter asked him, said, "Lord, okay, we're to forgive. How many times am I supposed to forgive?" Anybody know what he said? Peter said, "Seven times. Isn't seven enough? I mean, raise you do it, that's the sixth time. One more, no more forgiveness." He said, "Seven times 70, 490 times, which is ad infinitum. You're to always to forgive." That's what Jesus is talking about, sacrificial love. And he commanded us to do it, and we're going to spend the next few weeks. Next week we'll come back and begin to look at breaking down ways that Jesus demonstrated and taught how we can love one another other than just throwing it out. But before we close, I want to do you a favor. Any of you hungry and ready to go to lunch? We're almost through. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. This is going to be interesting. I don't want to see your eyes or your face because I don't want you to see mine either. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture someone, for those of you that are part of Holloway's, I want you to picture someone here at Holloway's that you have trouble liking. Oh yeah, Abin, he's meddling now. Much less loving. I want you just to think in your mind, and don't go to smiling or growling, and don't let steam come out of your ears. Now, I want you to think of someone. Maybe I want you to think of someone you work with. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's a coworker or someone in your family. I want you to think of them, and the idea of loving them like God did is just really, really, really difficult. Think about that for a minute. They drive you nuts. They get on your last nerve. You know who I'm talking about. You can picture them. You can hear them, their voice grating on you right now. that very person that Jesus is bringing to mind, or persons, and if it's your pastor, don't tell him. He's telling you to love. Not to love them because they meet your expectations, not to love them because they irritated you a little bit less today, but to love them as He loved them and loved us. Now, I know what some of you are thinking before you open your eyes. What? Are you crazy? Open your eyes. That two-legged devil I work with, that cousin of mine or sister of mine, I used to tell folks, and those of you that are guests, please hear this clearly. I used to pray God would kill my older brother and sister. I do love them. I'd love to torture them. I'm glad He never answered that prayer. Jesus commanded that we're to, first of all, love one another. Now, I just want to say all this because this is true of regardless of who's here. If we wish to see the power of God demonstrated in your life and in my life, okay, we have to follow that command. I don't care what your cousin did to you or your sister or your co-worker or anything else. Jesus said you are to love them. Now, how did He love them? If you remember the video said that Jesus loved them compassionately, but he wasn't there who said, Jesus wasn't one of those who said, just walk all over me. When the disciples messed up, if you remember Peter, here's Peter, he's up there, they're having a spiritual retreat, and they're up at Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And Peter's the only one that had the guts to say it. You're the Christ, you're the Christos, you're the Savior. Folks, that was blasphemy. And it's just a few seconds later that Jesus says, Peter, you're absolutely right. And now I'm going to have to go to the cross. And He starts telling what it means to be the Christ and what His journey is going to entail. And Peter begins to rebuke Him. You can't be talking that way. And what did Jesus do to him? Get thee behind me, Satan. You ever want to do that to somebody? But Jesus loved him. We come to the end of Jesus' time before He ascends back to heaven. Peter has denied Him three times, for those of you that know your Bible. Jesus told him He would. Not long after this, He says, Peter, you're going to deny me. You can't go with me. You can't love me like God said that you're to love me. He said, you're going to deny me. And Peter did. They come back and they find Jesus on the beach. He's fixing breakfast for them. And He looks at Peter and He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Philos. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Philos. Peter, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. And Jesus forgave him. It is a sacrificial love, but it is the love that we must carry out. Now He's at the end of His ministry, and He gives us a new command. We're going to deal with it more next week, but it starts, I'm going to ask you this week, here's your work from the Lord. It's not from me. Is think of that person and loving them. Now, I have such fun. Where'd Kendra go? Kendra go out to Children's Church? I hope she can hear me. I tell Kendra, Kendra says, Preacher, do you like me? I said, no. I'm just picking on Kendra. I could do it to Tyler, but he doesn't care, you know. No, I don't like you. And she loves to look at me and go, but you got to love me. That's all Jesus is saying. It doesn't mean that you like everything somebody does. It doesn't mean that we get, when I say like folks around here, we're to love them. It's better than that. We are to love them like God loved them. Why? Because each one of us is made in the image of God. Now, you can think up every excuse in the world why you can't love them, and I can't do that. Well, I want you just to understand something. Every time you say that in your heart, whether you say it in your mind or every time you go, you just don't know what they've done to me. There's no way I'm going to love them. I want you to imagine standing before the Lord Jesus Christ when you do that. And He's standing beside the Father. And the Father says, do you love them? Lord, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they did to me. Because of your sin and your sin and your sin and your sin, because of all these people's sin that are standing before me, they scourged me, they beat me, they nailed me to a cross. I was innocent. You don't know what they did to me. Jesus would never do that, would he? Neither should we. Let's pray together. Lord, as we begin this series and we'll take time to understand what it means to love one another, how deep your love, learning to love folks. And it's not easy, God. It's not easy to love some folks. There are some folks so irritating, they're just irritating, Lord. But we're going to learn to love them. That's what this series that you've called me to during this, the Love Month, is all about. Lord, you spread those arms wide and you died, offering us the gift of eternal life, salvation from our sin, forgiveness of our sins, and to come into our heart. Lord, if there's somebody today that's never made that decision, that they'll make that decision today. And that we all who are sitting here who long ago made that decision and call ourselves Christians and faithful and this and that will understand that the only way we can learn to love the way you have called us to is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to struggle to love one another as you have commanded us. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that needs to make public a decision they've made privately, maybe they need to come to the altar and they need to pray and say, God, forgive me for my feelings toward this person. Yes, they drive me crazy. Yes, they get on my nerves. Yes, they irritate me. But Lord, I'm going to follow your command. I'm going to learn to love them. Then you can do that today. Amen. Our hymn of invitation, Miss Ruth is going to come and lead us. It's hymn 316. It'll be up on the screen. If you have a decision you have made today that you want to make public, if you're looking for a church home, I think we're a pretty good one. I really do. And we're not perfect. We're just a loving church. Have y'all forgiven each other for that fight yet?